that as we preach through and study through a book, eventually we come to the end of it. Can you believe that? Last week we finished Colossians. Wow. Where are we going to go from here? Let's go to Proverbs. Chapter 9. I can appreciate your trip, Eileen. We had people here just for a couple days that were in a different time zone, and they were on Pacific time. And you know what that means. In the evening, when it's my bedtime, they're just getting started. But Eileen went across, how many time zones? You went all across to the eastern coast, and a lot of them. And it's hard to keep up. But praise God, we're here together today. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." When you see a friend in the community, I don't hear it quite so much anymore. It used to be more common to me anyway to hear from a friend, "Well, how's the world treating you?" Do you still hear that? "How in the world are you doing?" Well, the Bible says in this world we're going to have trouble. And it's a little bit difficult to know how to answer that. The typical answer is, "Fine." Let's get over this quickly. But it could enlarge to a theological discussion. And probably the friend that was just being polite and saying, "Well, how's the world treating you?" wasn't really wanting an answer. But how is it in this world? Here we have in this world a clash of world views. Many in America, or friends among them, have set their hopes on secular things, government, education, institutionalized education. And it tends to make Christians either more bold or more quiet. Don't want to raise a lot of waves, or let's get the truth straight here. Let's make it clear. And in the last few weeks, I've been wondering how to even approach this kind of subject. How long would it take to cover all the stuff that's going on in our America, United States of America, and then enlarge it to the world? How would you cover all the things that are happening? And I'm kind of proud. I wonder if it's Andy Smith and Karina that really made an impact in Uganda, because Uganda's leading the way in Eastern Africa for taking a stand as a government against the immorality and the perverse positions of a whole group of people. And actually, they have made a statement. Sometimes Africa comes out with things that rebukes the United States. And they came out with a statement and laws forbidding homosexual activity and making it a crime, as it used to be here, to be a crime. And so things aren't as dark as we think of it could be when we consider the whole world, but in the United States, we do have a crisis, a moral crisis. And when I think about that, I think of Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I'd like to pray with you, and we'll spend a little bit of time with this. Heavenly Father, I thank you. You are the master of the universe. You are the creator. You're the one who gives life to all that breathes. We thank you that we can stand before you as forgiven, as we shared in communion. The Lord Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. And we can stand before you as accepted, as in the beloved. And as we come to you and to your word, I pray that you would just move us toward you. May our confidence grow, that we might be bold for the things that are right, be prompted by your Spirit, and speak what is true. So we commit this time to you. It's only a very small portion of what could be said, needs to be said, but you can prompt us. You can get us started in thinking of those things that you'd want us to do, and I pray for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I kind of blundered my way through this. A short amount of time, a person could read people that have studied this all their lives and really benefit from that. But I felt like I was stumbling through this, and I started with a question, and it just kind of took off from there. Can Christians obey God and survive in this crazy culture? Can we serve the Lord, obey God, and survive in the current crazy culture? And it led to a second question. How much authority do those making decisions for America really have? How much authority do people have? Who decided that children need to realize they might live in the wrong body? Who decided that? Who pressed charges against parents that stood for true understanding of biology and common American values? What's happened? All of a sudden, it came from somewhere. Where did it come from? The pit. How did it rise up in such a broad arena that institutions, schools and school counselors and teachers, not all of them, we know we have good teachers and there are good places, but how could this be so broad? Because Satan is our enemy, and Satan has the minds of this world. And he's twisted them. I was thinking of that last night in doing dishes. Oh my God. Real men don't do dishes. I forgot that. But I was wringing out the washcloth, and I thought, Satan has twisted the minds of so many people. And if they are told by someone who seems to be an authority that probably a good portion of your class is frustrated, they're agitated, they can't sit still because they feel like they're living in the wrong body, how did they get that conclusion? Their mind has been twisted. Satan is the great deceiver. And I've talked about this a bit recently, about what happened in the book of Job. When Satan came before God and said, God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And he says, well, of course Job serves you because he has all your blessing and he doesn't have a trouble in his life. But if you take those things away from him, he'll curse you to your face. God said, try it. Have at it. That didn't work. Job said, naked I came into this world, naked I go out of it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives, he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all these things, Job didn't sin with his mouth. And so Satan came back and he says, well, you took his stuff. That didn't work, but you touch his body and he'll curse you. You know, what I got out of that was that Satan needed permission from God. God gave Satan a bit of leash. The second time he gave him more leash. And Job was afflicted. And you can read the book of Job in the New Testament, right before Psalms, or Old Testament, right before Psalms. And so in giving Job that time of suffering, it was approved by God. God didn't say, no, you can't do that. And the things that we're seeing in our country today, could it be possible that God has let out more and more line and Satan has freedom to twist the minds of people that don't want God to be ruler in their lives? I said I was kind of searching through this whole thing, and another passage came to mind just now in 2 Thessalonians. At the end of the age, Satan is going to have a man that is a deceiver, the Antichrist. And he will be given a certain amount of power, a certain amount of freedom to do what he will in developing this anti-God, Antichrist position and authority. And at the end of chapter 2, well, in the middle of chapter 2, I'll read verse 9 and 10. If you happen to turn there, this could be a page-flipping sermon by the time I get done with it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible tells us, and then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, I guess that's verse 9, all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception, among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. There's a period now of grace. God's mercy is on our country. Otherwise, we'd have been wiped out before. But something is happening that people turn away from God, and we could say pretty much that there's huge sections of our country who are saying no to God. Who is it that says no, God? You know that from Psalms? How does Psalm 14 say? Start. The fool has said in his heart, no, God. It says there are words that are added, that if you read that verse and two words are added, the fool has said in his heart, there is. Those are added words. No God. The text actually says, no God. And when a person says, no God, what else is available to him? And who's going to take advantage of that? If you don't follow God, you are going to follow somebody. And Satan says, here I am. I'll do you the best job that you've ever had. You can trust me. Twist, twist. Satan has twisted the power, the thinking of many that are in positions of power. But there is no territory that God cannot demonstrate his power or protect his people. There is no place that God can't be. When the nation of Israel was coming into the promised land, and there were all those nations that are listed, there's the Hittites and Canaanites, Girgashites, and everything else, they believed, and it came into the Israelis, Israel, thinking also, that's why they followed Baal, is that gods are territorial, they're local. That Baal is the god of the Canaanites, and Molech is the god of the Sidonians, and there's these gods, and they have an area and a people that they rule over. And they explained to Israel that the Lord was with you in Egypt. He ain't here. Oh no, there's no place that has been abandoned by God or closed off to God. God is everywhere present all the time. And so the verse that I would refer to is Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39, which says, acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. All those other gods of the nations are false gods. They're idols. They're demonic. Is there power? We've got to acknowledge, yes. You don't just mock and make fun of demons. There's a real thing. But you don't worship them. You appeal to the God that is over all. You acknowledge God who has no limit. You acknowledge the God who can save you from Satan's pushes and temptations and twisted thinking. Well, in this country, because things have gotten the way they are, there are repercussions for standing against it, standing against that foolishness. It can happen, and it has happened, that people have lost jobs because they said, I won't teach this, or I won't go along with what you're trying to put on to people in our store. I'm not going to support that. They say, okay, you lost your support from us. You're out of here. Can Christians survive in this crazy world? If we come under the authority of God Almighty, He has promised. During communion, I thought of this. It's Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, come and bless the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. Wow. The God of creation, the Creator, can deliver us. So you lose your job. And you walk out of the store and the door slams behind you and say, so what? Big deal. This isn't all there is to life. We have an eternity. We have an eternity with the Lord. If we bow and say, I must do whatever I am told by the world's authorities, what are we saying? No, God. I'm not going to obey you this time. I'm not going to be bold for you. I'm not going to speak for you. Not going to resist the devil's temptation. need to be careful with that one. Jeremiah wrote, O great and powerful God, whose name is the Lord Almighty, great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to all the ways of men. You reward everyone according to his conduct and as his deeds deserve. Oh, there are consequences, good or bad. Whatever choice we make, there are going to be consequences. His eyes are open, see all that we do. And you reward, Jeremiah said. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I might add, that this wasn't just Jeremiah's thoughts. God is to be acknowledged as the ultimate authority. He's the final judge. He preserves our lives, and he holds our inheritance. I was brought up with that thought. Churches that we attended as I was growing up, that, you know what, this isn't all there is to life, and God has reserved your reward. We don't want to think on the terms of, I'm going to earn something. No, but as we serve the Lord, God is keeping track, and he makes it all worth the sacrifice that might be called on here on earth. There's no way we can outgive God. Well, what does God do when people do not acknowledge him and instead rebel? In the Old Testament, God sent his prophets to warn the people, like Noah. And what message did Noah have? Was there any kind of message that he had before he went into the ark? What was his message? Kind of like Jonah's message, wasn't it? What message was Jonah given? 90 days and God's going to wipe out Nineveh. And some people, and I don't see why we don't have to agree with these people, that say Noah had 120 years to preach his message as he built the ark. If you don't like 120 years, you can come up with another one. But the Bible says that man had 120 years. His days will be 120 years. And Noah was what the Bible also calls, I think it's James, Noah is called the preacher of righteousness. So if he's the preacher of righteousness and there's going to be a flood and everyone is unrighteous, he has quite a message, doesn't he? Hey, you got to shape up, turn to the Lord, or I don't think you can tread water long enough, because there's going to be a judgment. And in the Old Testament, there were droughts, there were famines. The Old Testament prophets told people, this is coming if you don't repent and turn to the Lord. And they had a message. And the consequences of refusing that message was to suffer death. Going to die in the famine. God wants you to turn to him. Earthquakes, destruction by enemies. Moses told the Israelites all this in the book of Deuteronomy when he said, if you don't follow the Lord, this is the curse that you're going to endure. You're going to fall to your enemies. God's going to withdraw his protection, and you're going to fall. What does he do when people don't acknowledge him? They rebel against him. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us that he sends his word through his people. He calls us ambassadors in 2 Corinthians. So in Romans chapter 1, we have a message. You continue this way, God gives you over. You're telling young people that they don't belong in that body, they need to have mutilation surgeries. You're going to pay for that, brother. You better repent. Wow. But Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 through 18 is a list of those things that are pulled out of the Old Testament. There's none righteous, no, not one. And down through that list. And it ends with, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. No God. Don't care. So we as Christians have an opportunity. You know, those people that are caught up in some of these challenges, if we, that's a pretty light word for what's going on. But we as Christians have a message to, and we can share the truth that God will save them. Sin leads to judgment, and Christ took our judgment. It's not about our self-preservation, but it's about salvation. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. He was seen, and He has promised that He's coming again, and we can live by the Scriptures. So what does God do when people repent? And He extends mercy and grace. When God judges sin, people get a clearer picture of who He is. And so when we see these things happening, and we see some of the things that happened in the Old Testament being repeated now in our day, some of those judgments, natural catastrophes. I don't have a soapbox up here, but I'm going to get on one for just a second. We need to be really careful not to repeat what some popular preachers, teachers will say when there's a natural catastrophe. After Hurricane Andrew, after the tsunami down in Indonesia, those are the most clear memories that I have of people being on television saying, God did not do this. And I said, how do you know? How can you say that? How can you say God did not? You want your God to be nimby-pamby, soft guy that would never discipline people, that would never judge sin. How do we know what He was doing? Was God absent when those things happened? Can He make a big wind? Yes. We're told about, well, we're not really told about it. A reference is made in the days of Hezekiah about a great earthquake that was memorable. And we're never told about it in the Bible. But there was something that happened that they said, this is a place to mark on your calendar. There was a huge earthquake. And it was a point of reference. Did God do that? Evidently. Did God send that tsunami? Was He in control of the wind down there? Or the earthquake that caused the tsunami? Yep. When we hear word of was it 400 miles out from Oregon coast? Recently, I mean within weeks, a news article came up that there's a possibility of a huge earthquake taking on out there, that things are shifting little, and it's going to, and there's going to be a tsunami come on. People say, oh, no way. Is God going to do something that we don't agree with? We don't want to see it happen. But can God do that? And people say, ah, there is a God. What should I do? How can I save my life and myself, my family? And what is the most important thing, to move to a higher ground or to get right with God? Who's going to tell? Get right with God. You can't move out of God's reach. Our God is a consuming fire, says in Hebrews chapter 12. Don't take him lightly. Our God is a consuming fire. Galatians 6:7 says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So we can even turn back. How long has this been going on? How long has God made his appeal to people? Repent, turn to me, come to me that you might have life. It was back in Isaiah 55 that the Lord said, or Isaiah wrote the Lord's word, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Turn to the Lord. Don't try and work your way up to become appealing to God to make him accept a person. We can't do that. The New Testament teaches us then what we really need. It's the grace of God. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because we understand that God will never deceive us. It is a fear that understands more clearly that the Creator of the universe is intimately involved in our affairs. All that we do is open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Believers are called to fear the Lord and acclaim Him as Master and Lord, rather than follow the foolish leadership from the world. It may get costly. Following God on this earth is not the end of life. That's not our aim. I don't remember what I just said. We are to follow the Lord in this life, but it's not the end of our life that we need to be concerned about and be swallowed up by the world's teaching. Because God has the inheritance in His hands. He has our eternity in hands. It may get costly, but eternal life is worth the earthly loss. If, in fact, you and I have to endure harsh consequences of our spiritual choice. In this world, Jesus said, you'll have trouble. You'll have tribulation, but be of good courage. Don't lose heart. He said he has overcome the world. And that is how it is in the United States today. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're frail. We have our own conscience we need to live with. Help us to have the directive from you, to understand that, to be able to live in such a way that others will acknowledge the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord, be able to speak those words that go with us from here. Thank you for all the family members and the direction that grandparents can give to grandkids. So we pray that you'd direct our thoughts, purify our consciences, help us to live pleasing to you. In Jesus' name.